The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, live from Barcanada here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I'd like to start the show, Kelly, with a tweet this morning. This is from Mike Mora 44. Mike M. He says, no screaming at guests today, Gil. That is my North Star today. Was there screaming? Oh, they're screaming. Mild-mannered Gil. No screaming at guests today. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We got a good show. Will Hill will join us. Mike Pritchard, talk NFL, all college bowl thoughts from Will as well, whatever he's betting these days. We will also do a couple things, Dave. One, it is a Wednesday. That means a Right Angle Sports release live on air. As we move global markets, we've done this 2 weeks now this year. We're 2-0. They're 2-0. But we're 2-0 in terms of getting ahead of the line and then and winning. The first week, a little more of a sweat than last week. Last week, it was over with 8 minutes left in the game. So, again, how this works is Michael Craig will come on. He'll give a rotation number. He'll let us know what that is. What if it's total or a side? We'll put it in our bet slip. If he says go, it's a go. It's a bet. If he says cancel, take it out of your bet slip. We'll do it all over again. So we shall see how that goes this time. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we did this for, I don't know, several weeks at the beginning of the college football season, then we kind of abandoned it. But back by popular demand, because it is college bowl season, college bowl guessing lines with Kelly Midland.
Bam, let's go. Let's go.
With a little twist today, by the way.
Yeah.
We're also going to have you guess what the sponsor companies actually do.
And oh boy, did you and Wyatt pick some good ones.
By the way, I'd have gone 0-4 too. Just telling you off the bat.
There's four of them?
Yes.
I'm not confident I know that any of the four of the companies.
Have you seen them? You caught a glimpse of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I got the name of the bowl game and who's playing in it, and I had to go off of that. So I just wrote down guesses of what
I would have totally gone 0-4 on them. But we're gonna see what you come up with, maybe.
That doesn't sound good for me then.
You might be do better. Maybe you're more hip to corporate America than I am.
No, you know what? I don't want to give it away, but we're gonna get to it. At least half of them are those corporate America names that you're like, this could be the name of like a company in seven different sectors across American business.
For sure. For sure. We also have JVT on with us momentarily to talk NBA in-season tournament and football with him. And Jason Weingarten, of course, from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Let me begin with that NBA real quick. We now have the semifinals determined. That will be here in Vegas tomorrow. We got a day game and a night game. The day game is going to be the Pacers and the Bucks. That's after the Bucks beat the Knicks yesterday in a game that had a million points. By the way, do you like this NBA? For those of us who are not the biggest NBA bettors, we bet all other sports. And then we sort of glance over at the NBA scores. We're like, what sport? What does this become? Do you enjoy it that it's just nothing but offense at this point in some of these games?
Yeah, I mean, I think keyword there's some of the games like that. I mean, the Bucks and Knicks have been neither one of them exactly the best defensive teams this year.
Right.
And we knew this kind of change was going to happen with the Bucks.
Well, when we say some more than ever before, we're having
it was
268 points. Bucks roll the Knicks. They advance. So the Bucks are going to host the Pacers, who had already advanced the previous day. They're going to host the Pacers in the afternoon game on Thursday at T-Mobile. And then the Pelicans, who have a day extra rest, they are now going to play the Lakers. The Lakers beat the Suns, and they do so with some controversy, as the kids say.
Sure.
Austin Reeves, well, Lakers win this by three. Austin Reeves and the Lakers are up in this game. Were they up two at the time, at the moment when this happened? And
It was three still,
yeah. And they inbounds pass. Austin Reeves loses the ball. He's getting harassed, double-teamed. He loses the ball. And LeBron gets granted a timeout. And it was pretty clear that Austin Reeves did not have control of the basketball. What they ruled was that he had pinned the ball between his arm and his thigh. And that constitutes control. That's what they went with.
Such garbage.
Such garbage.
What I hate is when they have explanations like that. Why can't you just be like, hey, I had the ref had a terrible angle. It was going to be tough for him to see it anyways.
Just go
to
replay.
It doesn't excuse a missed call, but why can't you should just be like, I didn't really see it. Like, I had a terrible angle. Let's go to replay. It was awful. That is a loose ball, and they granted the Lakers a timeout.
What's particularly sad about this is we talked about this for those, again, who missed it. The incentive in this in-game tournament is every player on the eventual winning team gets $500,000 United States dollars. And I made the point because everybody's knee-jerk is sort of like, it's not enough money for an NBA player. Again, if you're one of the top contracts, you're right. It's nothing. If you're making $40, $50 million a year, big whoop. But the Suns have 9 or 10 guys who are making the minimum.
Oh, yeah.
So this $500,000 is about 25% or more of their entire year's salary. Like, it's a big thing. It would have meant so much to that team specifically. Not that it wouldn't to others, but they had the most guys that would have applied to. So they're out. And so tomorrow, I don't know if you have anything today. No,
just
NBA.
Real quick, I was just going to say the it's interesting to me because I think there's almost incentive for every team because you get younger to teams that scale younger that we all talked about, like the Pacers, good example, at the beginning of, okay, there's not really a ton, we're not talking about a ton of max contracts here. Like, this is all younger players. Like, yeah, they're going to be really hungry for this money. But I think it's funny because we've heard from the Suns. We've heard from Kevin Durant. We've heard from Damian Lillard on the Bucks. I think there's a little bit of a feeling when you're making as much money as those guys are, and then you're surrounded by those other types of players.
Like, you feel a responsibility.
If I want them to help me come May and June, I better help them now and try to get them a little bit more extra cash.
Well, KD said it felt like a playoff game last night, for sure. It did. So these two games tomorrow, well, I don't know if you have anything today, but this Pacers-Bucks game, speaking of totals, how does 254.5 grab you?
It's not going under, man. It's not going under.
Isn't that amazing? That's your new... I can't go under that.
Not the way the Pacers play. The Pacers are so... I mean, these are two of the top teams in pace, two of the top teams in offensive efficiency, and two of the bottom teams in defensive efficiency. It's going to be very, very fun to watch. I would not be going under this total. Side, I don't really have much in both of these games, unfortunately, tomorrow night. I would be a lean to the Bucks for me. I'm probably going to play a Giannis over rebounds, at least over rebounds, maybe over points and rebounds prop, because it's going to be Indiana jacking up a ton of threes, easy rebounds for Giannis and Brooke Lopez that they should be able to grab up as long as Indiana's not making everything again. So that's where I'm going to be looking in that game. I was hoping to bet the Pelicans.
Bucks favored by 4.5, by the way, that game.
Yeah, 4.5, 5 is where we're at right now. Pelicans, Lakers, I was really thinking I was going to have a bet on the Pelicans kill, but oh boy, apparently the books thought, thinking the same thing as me, because this is just Lakers. You're finding Lakers favored anywhere between 1 and 2. I thought this was going to open higher.
And the reports are that LeBron really wants to win this to have in-season tournament champion as another little notch on his resume.
Another trophy. Add the NBA Cup to the trophy case.
Anything today from you in the NBA?
Yeah, actually, I have a bet on the Thunder tonight. They are going into Houston. Houston been playing really well at home, but you have no Jalen Green. He's going to be out for a little while for the Houston Rockets. The Thunder, one of the best teams in the NBA right now. Offensively, what they're doing is incredible. So, yeah, I do have a bet on the Thunder tonight.
All right, back to Trevor Lawrence and the saga of his high ankle sprain is what they're calling it. And on the one hand, great, he escaped further damage, so that's the best of news. I have this image of those two guys walking him in those baby steps all the way to the hospital through Jacksonville, taking like hours to get there. Here's the deal. They'll evaluate him later in the week. We still don't know how long, if at all, Trevor Lawrence is going to be out of action. One might assume that he's out this week, which sounds like a safe-ish assumption, but is certainly not a fact at this point. Who knows? So if you look at AFC South odds currently to win the AFC South, keep in mind Jacksonville's 8-4. Both the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts are 7-5, one game back. Jacksonville has swept the Colts already, so they would win a head-to-head tiebreaker with the Colts. They split with the Texans. Indianapolis beat Houston in their one game thus far. They play again later this year. So that's the head-to-head situation. In terms of division record, Jacksonville is 4-1. Indianapolis is 3-2. Houston is 1-2. So Jacksonville has the best of a division record. Were it a three-way tie, mm-hmm. that couldn't be decided on head-to-heads. And so odds to win the AFC South. With that backdrop with Trevor Lawrence, Jags are still minus 215. Texans are plus 330. The Colts are plus 450. And if you look at their schedules, again, the aggregate winning percentage of their remaining schedule, opponents, that is, it is the Colts. Let me get this right on this. The Colts that have the hardest by far, their opponent winning percentage aggregate is 517 winning percentage, whereas the Texans and the Jaguars are both 433. So the question becomes, is there a bet? I don't think you can bet the Jags at minus 215.
No way.
But the Texans at plus 330, if you forced me to bet one, it would absolutely be the Texans at plus 330. The question is, would I? Would I bet it? It is tempting, and I'll tell you why. Because here's the Texans' remaining record, remaining schedule: at Jets, at Tennessee, home Cleveland, home Tennessee, at Indy. If they can run that table, who knows if it comes down to a head-to-head, which they've lost with Jacksonville, because Jacksonville does have a home game against Baltimore, but they'd have to lose one more. They close at Tampa, home Carolina, at Tennessee. So really, your handicap might very well come down to this very game this weekend, Jacksonville at Cleveland, where you have to suss out if Trevor Lawrence is even going to be available. You understand? So in other words, if you think Jacksonville is going to lose this or is likely not to have Trevor Lawrence, I think it probably does trigger a bet on the Houston Texans at plus 330. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think it's a...
But if you don't think that, it doesn't.
Right, doesn't. And you'd have to... I mean, you're going to have to beat that line move anyways, right? Like, that would probably adjust if we know Trevor Lawrence is for sure.
But that's really why I think that handicap, interestingly, comes down to how you assess this Jacksonville-Cleveland game and will Trevor play or not. We'll come back. JBT joins us. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break. Talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. A lot of companies were vying for that. If you're a smoker or dipper looking to ditch the ashtray or spit cup, look no further than Zyn. Zyn is made with six simple ingredients and is available in a wide range of varieties, including spearmint, citrus, even coffee. How about some wintergreen? And it's available in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Because it's discreet, you can enjoy it anywhere, anytime, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Plus, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, Zyn swag, and even gift cards. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Jeff Weisenborn. He says, hey, what time is Michael Craig on today? Thanks in advance. Jeff, here's the thing. I'm not trying to be rude about this, but I don't want to give the exact time because I don't want to give books even that much more time to get prepared for it. But just let you know, we only have 90 more minutes left on air. So it's the window is crashing. Let's put it that way. Kelly's laughing, but I'm telling you, it's better to float these.
Yeah, no, you're right. I definitely didn't just respond to him at the time.
Oh, you didn't? Kelly and I didn't communicate on that, so there you go. Let's go. Kelly responded to you. Chris Schneider, let's see. True that none of Alanis Morissette's examples of irony were actually ironic. Doesn't that make the entire song ironic? And Joey Sedante, thank you for mentioning that nothing in Alanis' song is actually ironic. It's just bad luck and coincidence. I have been saying this for years. I don't think we're the first to say that. I think a lot of people have been onto that. Jesse Welch came in today excited about Right Angle Sports Wednesdays, but now I'm ecstatic in capitals that I get to listen to Kelly guessing college lines for bowl season. This will be outstanding.
I don't expect to be anywhere close on the lines. This is obviously way more difficult doing the bowl games.
Out of pressure.
I'm way more excited about trying to guess the companies.
Me too.
Though,
me too.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. The lines are secondary.
Right. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is the star of both the Bear Bets podcast with Chris Velika, college and pro football versions, and of course, the Megapod, the Beating the Book Megapod. It's the great Will Hill. How you doing, Willie?
What's going on? I'm okay. I'm a little nervous after what you did to Futek yesterday. I heard he was out trying to get an emotional support animal to recover, but I'm just going to be nice to you. I'm going to smile and hopefully I'll get out of this segment unscathed.
Stop it. Whatever you do, you do thousands of shows that in one show, they're like, this guy's different. Can we talk baseball first real quick? Because I know you're a Yankees guy. Trade momentum growing for Juan Soto to the Yankees. How pumped are you?
This will actually get me excited. I've been so bitter because they've passed on Harper and Seager and Machado, and they just haven't acted like the Yankees. And they've really missed a window to win a World Series where they had some good teams, and they were just maybe one player away, one hit away in some of those Astros series. This will get me excited. Now, the Judge and Cole aren't getting any younger, but this is a start. I think they're going to get Soto. I was tweeting about it last week. I did a show with Dave Ross where I was like, the Yankees are going to get Soto because they have to, because they don't really care about winning championships as much anymore, but they don't want to be irrelevant, and bringing that same team back would make them somewhat irrelevant. So I wish we discussed it a couple weeks ago. They were 15-1. I think they're down to like 13-1 now at DraftKings to win the World Series. I mean, you still need more. They did Verdugo last night, which is strange. The Yankees and Red Sox never make trades. So they desperately need some buzz. They desperately need a left-handed presence in that lineup. So Judge and Soto is a nice start. Now you're probably still going to need a pitcher or two. You can't really trust Rodon to stay healthy. Cortez is good, but he's banged up a lot. But it's a start. I mean, with all the teams that make the playoffs now, they should be a playoff team. And you get in the playoffs with Judge, Soto, Cole, and I would think they'd add another piece or two. It seems like they're going to go for it again and really be on and try to act like the Yankees at least a little bit. So I think they're worth a little bet at 13-1 to win the whole thing. And you know, it's amazing. It's been such a quiet offseason.
It really
Ohtani's one of the great free agents of all time. And you see a tweet here and there. Oh, he might go to this team, he might go to that team. There's not these sweepstakes. I remember, you know, LeBron was a free agent with 2010 and then again in 2014. It was like round the clock coverage. You barely hear about it. It's crazy.
The most consistent Will Hill text all last year was look at the back end of the Yankees lineup tonight. So there's that. The Ohtani thing is interesting, as you said, because obviously people have been betting on this in certain spots where it's available, where he's going, what it's supposed to happen here within like 48 hours. That's the buzz. Who knows if it does or not? What is your instinct telling you? Where do you think he ends up?
The natural one would be like the Dodgers. They get everybody. They have the most money. They're the most aggressive. I don't know. Would he go to Toronto? Toronto's popped up more than I've expected to hear. They're sort of lying in the weeds, and I think they wanted to get either one of Soto or Ohtani, and it doesn't look like they're going to get Soto. I'll say Toronto. I mean, you'd never be shocked if the Dodgers get anybody, but I'll say Toronto. I guess there were whispers yesterday the Angels weren't out of it, and he'd go back. It's interesting because we don't know anything about Ohtani. He doesn't really talk. He doesn't communicate with the press. He's very, obviously there's the language barrier, but I think there's more to it where he's just sort of shut off from the media, where we don't really know anything about him or what he's thinking. So I would say Toronto. I don't know what the odds are on him. We don't have that here for whatever reason. In Connecticut, you can't bet player movement. You can't bet college football futures. It's weird. We have legal betting, but there's a couple markets that are banned. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. I can't figure out the what or why, but I'll take a stab with Toronto.
Giants are out of this. They can't get him. It's not. Did they turn when he came to visit them? Did they turn down the wrong street? Is that what happened? And I say this as someone who loves San Francisco, by the way, but it's true.
I mean, he's got to look that if he went there, they've been in the mix, but I mean, he's not young either. Don't you want to go somewhere where like, all right, you got to win at some point. I mean, 2-3 years from now, he's probably not going to be the same player. He hasn't won anything. He hasn't even been close to the playoffs with the Angels. I mean, if you go to the Giants, you're in the same division with the Dodgers. Diamondbacks are pretty good. I don't know. I don't know what he prioritizes, what he wants. It's about location. It's about winning. I'm not really sure. I don't know that anybody really knows.
Yeah. Okay.
Dodgers minus 150 at places.
Minus 150. Thank you, sir.
What's Toronto?
4-1.
It's not bad.
Toronto's a great city, man. Cosmopolitan spot. Beautiful people, smart people. Be a great landing spot for him. Okay, NFL Week 14. What do you have in pocket thus far?
I bet the Patriots plus the six. I just
I
faded the Steelers last week. I'm going to fade them again. Like the Steelers aren't going to blow anybody out. I mean, I know the Patriots aren't a good team, but like neither are the Steelers. I don't know. The Patriots. Look, they're 2-10. They're 2-10 for a reason. But they've lost a few coin flips. Pittsburgh's won a few coin flips. I mean, I don't know that these teams are that far apart in a game where the total is 30 and will probably close even lower. Six is a hell of a lot of points.
Yeah, it is.
I could certainly see them winning this game 17-13, 13-10. So I'll take the six and hope I can get to like 10 points. I would think they'd go back to Mac Jones at some point. I know he's not great, but Zappy's not the answer. So I don't know. I'll take the points here. I think that's a lot. Plus you have Trubisky trying to work with the ones and try to get up, caught up to speed with the ones on it. What's a short week, only a couple days to do that. So that's a factor. Belichick has done well against Tomlin here. So I'll take the six with the Patriots. I like Dallas. I don't want to lay the three. I think it's up to 3.5. I think the better way to play, and I gave this out last week, I'll just stick with it. Dallas team total over 27.5. They've scored 40 plus four straight games at home. Now, some of that's defense and, you know, they're getting pick sixes and you can't count on that. Okay. But they're still 40 plus, and Philly's got all sorts of issues in the secondary. They can't cover the slot. I mean, once San Francisco got humming last week, it was just up and down the field. They basically could have scored 50 if they wanted to, 50 or 60. I mean, it was every drive was a touchdown. So I think Dallas with their receivers will be able to expose Philly's secondary. I think Dallas will probably win. So I was looking at this. I think it's probably priced properly, but the 49ers are plus 165 to be the one seed. If we think what's going to happen, like if form holds this week and Dallas wins and San Fran wins, San Fran's the one. Now, they do have to play Baltimore on Christmas night, but that game is in San Francisco. I think San Francisco's going to be the one seed here. And if they are, good luck going into that building with that team with a week off and beating that team. So I think San Francisco plus 165, like I said, it's probably priced correctly, but at plus money, you might be sitting there Monday wishing you'd bet it.
Did you send Will the rundown, Kelly? Is that what just happened?
Coming up next,
we talk about number one seeding odds. We might land on the Niners in the NFC. We shall see.
Okay, we'll start.
You think it's a good bet?
We'll just killed half our segment, Kelly. Yes, I actually do. We'll just preview it. We'll go through a deep dive. If you're going to bet anything in the NFC, and the NFC is really, it's four teams, right? It's Eagles, Niners, Lions, Cowboys. Nobody else is getting the number one seed at this point based on where the standings are. Not even Washington. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, because if you think it's sort of like we talked about with the AFC South. If you think the Eagles are losing to the Cowboys this weekend, that's kind of the fulcrum game, right? If you think that's happening, you got to bet the Niners at plus 165 because the Niners are going to be favored in every game. Every game. They could run the table easy peasy on this. So then they, of course, have the head-to-head, right? So, and the Lions...
You do have to beat Baltimore, though, because... Like if you look at Philly's schedule, we talked about this gauntlet. It does get pretty easy after this. You get the Giants twice. I know they played better. You get the Cardinals. They played better.
The last three are easy. Right. But the Niners have the head to head. That's the thing.
Right.
With one game to make up. And the Lions and Cowboys, quite frankly, their schedule, especially the Cowboys schedule, there's no chance. Like, we'll get into this next segment.
The Giants are just, they're waving the white flag, right? With this week, if they're saying DeVito's starting this week, with Tyrod Taylor's back and healthy, like this is a clear punt for the draft.
Real quick, did you make any national exhibition semifinal bets in college football?
I think Bama's going to beat him. I think that's a really tough matchup for Michigan in terms of like you have to out physical Bama, and that's really hard to do. I think Bama's going to the finals.
All right. Well, Brent Musburger, the great Brent Musburger on the Megapod tomorrow. Be on your best behavior, will you?
I'm excited.
All right. Will Hill, everybody, plug it real quick.
Gold Boys Discord, Bear Bets Podcast.
My man. Coming back, number one seed talk.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All brought to you by Barcanada, the barrage here at the D in Las Vegas. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, gambling porn with Jason. Kelly on College Bowl guessing lines and sponsor guesses as well.
That's right.
Wyatt Tomczyk and I have come up with it. It's actually Wyatt who came up with the group of four to try to flummox you.
Four
on
good
these.
Ones. I have no idea what the companies do.
Yeah, and Right Angle Sports release, global release, college basketball. Don't go anywhere. It's coming quick. We won't tell you exactly when. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get to Pritch, we were just talking about this off air. So I have, from earlier in the season, I have a Niners to beat the Bills in the Super Bowl exacta. My number stinks. I got it at 25-1. It's like 80-1 now, right? And then I've been talking about on air how I want to have a Niners to beat the Ravens because I think those are the best two teams in all of football. Yeah. And I got that, but I lollygagged, so my number there stinks too. I got like 12-1. Other people got like 18-1 or whatever. And then last night you're like, hey, you want to talk about number one seeds? And then last night I'm going through this, analyzing it, and I come up, as I just talked about, the Chiefs actually have probably the best bet. And now I'm like, do I have to go get a Niners beat the Chiefs one too?
Yeah, you do. I think you do. We were talking about that during the break. We talked about it preseason because I made some exacta bets where I thought there was some value in that preseason this year when you could narrow down how many NFC teams you really thought had a chance. And I think we're kind of sitting here at the same place today with it being San Francisco, Philadelphia, Dallas. I didn't do much with San Francisco, though. So I think I'm going to go make some today with Chiefs and Bills.
Let's find out how our own Mike Pritchard feels about this. A man who actually played the game, number one draft choice of the Atlanta Falcons back in 1991, and a national champion at Colorado before that. Mike Pritchard, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys this morning?
Doing very well. Are you on board with, if someone who's not even a better, someone just in your circle comes to you, it's not necessarily played the game, but just a casual football fan, they're like, hey, Pritch, who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? What's your answer right now?
Oh, man. I think what Kelly said, it holds true from the beginning of the year, like Dallas, San Francisco, and Philly. That's what's played out so far this year in the NFC. In the AFC, I actually thought that the Jets with Aaron Rodgers could be special, but that didn't happen. That didn't materialize. The Ravens, from a culture standpoint, is fantastic, right? The Chiefs are finding out they're not explosive over there in the AFC. I think the AFC could have a surprise situation. I mean, the tiebreakers are coming into play right now. Some teams are kind of warming up and getting hot, and some outliers over there. But in the NFC, it's true. I mean, I think I would go Dallas in the NFC if they can get home field. That sounds crazy. They can get home field. They can't beat San Francisco in San Francisco. We know that. But they got a big one coming up against the Eagles, as we know. If this 49ers could trip up, or if they trip up at all, we'll see what happens. But Dallas looks to be a representative of the Super Bowl and probably the Ravens.
All right, let me ask this a different way, because I sort of made it into little trios yesterday. All right, so in the NFC, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Dallas. AFC, Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City. If I came to you from the future and I said,
right,
there will actually be a participant in the Super Bowl, just one, I won't make you name two, one in either conference that is not among that group of three, who is the team?
I mean, okay, outside of Miami, Baltimore, and Kansas City, or an AFC, really?
Well, no, you can choose the NFC side if you want to, but Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, they're throwouts for the purpose of this question, and
right,
and Philadelphia, Dallas, and San Francisco in the NFC. So,
oh, good Lord.
Yes, because I want to get a sense of which is, because what I was saying, I'll tell you why I ask, what I was saying earlier this week is, Buffalo's the team you don't want to let get in. If they find a way in, you can see just the force of Josh Allen alone winning a playoff game or two, or perhaps .. That would be my answer to the question. I'm not sure if that's yours.
Yeah, no, I'm staying away from Buffalo just because, like what you just said, they're so dependent on Josh Allen. Like, I think once you get to the playoffs, you can't be dependent on just your quarterback that way to make those plays, right? Man, that is such a tough question, because I can't see anybody getting that hot in which you see those teams getting around. I mean, Buffalo has some work to do just to get into the playoffs.
Yes, they do. That's right.
Throw out those teams. I mean, Houston, I can't see it. They lose Dell, and I think CJ Stroud's been incredible. But that is an interesting question. And you look at Jacksonville, they don't profile, and now Trevor's hurt. That is a very interesting question, which I don't have an answer to.
Okay.
To be honest,
all right,
with you.
Well, so that tells me
there's nobody I have confidence in.
Okay, so that tells me that it will be from that group of six. Let me ask you about Let me ask you about Coach of the Year, because you've actually played. You've been under multiple coaches. You have a better sense than we do about what it takes to really, what separates, coaches to sort of fall into it to actually being a really good coach. And that's not necessarily how guys vote on it, by the way, because they don't know the insights, they don't have the insights that you do having played it. But from your vantage point right at this moment, who is your Coach of the Year?
Well, a few weeks ago, we were talking about this. And I mentioned D'Amico Ryan because D'Amico he's just been incredible doing. And I think the criteria, right? Because Vrabel won it. I had a ticket on Zach Taylor, and I thought when he was, you know, leading Cincinnati to a Super Bowl, okay, he's going to win Coach of the Year, right? No, it was Vrabel, because what he did more with less. And so the track record of the voters or of that award, I'm thinking the same way with D'Amico.
I think you're right. I'm with you.
He didn't have anything, right? And that organization was garbage, hot garbage. But yet they're on the cusp of making the playoffs, and they have a fantastic quarterback, a franchise quarterback. So I think D'Amico's in a good spot. What Kyle Shanahan is doing is really unprecedented. I mean, he has a quarterback in which nobody wanted. I mean, it was Mr. Irrelevant, right? And now this guy could win the MVP, or okay, he's been in the discussion. So he simplified the game offensively for that particular player, and it is working. I mean, they added some pieces, and I get it. You can throw in John Lynch too. Along the way, they've always tinkered, whether it's offensively or defensively, just to get it right and have the best roster and one of the deeper rosters. But I don't think he's going to win it, but I mean, the job that he's doing is phenomenal, to be honest with you.
Shanahan. Yeah. I think he does a phenomenal job every year. And I think you're probably right. He probably doesn't win it, but you led me in right into the next one, because it begs the question that you mentioned Brock Purdy. Do you think, yeah, I mean, who's your MVP right now? If you had an MVP vote and these are voted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, who's your one?
Well, because quarterback play is down, I don't know if a quarterback's going to win it. And I don't know if I would vote for a quarterback, even though CJ Stroud has been incredible. Brock Purdy has been incredible. Dak Prescott is coming on. I think a running back could win it. And for me, it would be Christian McCaffrey. He accounts for over 40% of the scoring output for the 49ers right now. He's got, I think, 18 touchdowns if you throw in and factor in a passing touchdown. And he's not done yet. I mean, this guy could get into the 20s. When it comes to touchdowns, total touchdowns. And I think if you are on the best team in the National Football League, the deepest team in the National Football League, and you're the most important player because he is the reason why that offense goes, I think that's grounds for MVP, you know. And not to brag or boast, but I was MVP of our national championship team. But was I the best player? No. I mean, well, I got drafted higher than everybody else, but I wasn't necessarily the best player because we had Eric Bieniemy as a Heisman Trophy finalist, right? But my teammates voted me the MVP because I was that important to what we did on our way to winning a national championship. So I think the same thing holds true for Christian McCaffrey.
Pritch didn't mean to brag, didn't mean to boast, but he likes hot butter on a breakfast toast.
Come on, Pritch, yeah, just brag about it, man. You were the best player on the team. You got drafted higher than anybody. Come on.
Pritch is, if you go back and you look at those highlights, Pritch is so good, and he is so low-key about it. Okay, wait a minute now. As you were leading into that, you're like, well, I wouldn't, because quarterback play is down. I wouldn't go with a quarterback. Yeah. At that moment in time, if there was a live odds on what you were about to say as a former wide receiver, I was like, oh, Tyreek is -900 to come out of Mike Pritchard's mouth right now. You didn't go that way. You went McCaffrey. Why not Tyreek Hill? He's a wideout. He's setting records.
He is. And you know, I've seen Calvin Johnson go off. I've seen Randy Moss go off. I've seen Cooper Kupp recently go off. And you know, if Tyreek Hill does get that 2,000 yards, I mean, there's a case for it. But through my track record or my history in this game, you know, that's probably reserved for offensive player of the year. I mean, Randy Moss was the best player in the league, you know, at times, right? And Jerry Rice, the same thing. I mean, I think Calvin Johnson too, Megatron. I mean, that guy was incredible, but these guys never was considered an MVP type of player. And, you know, situations, Cooper Kupp recently, but situations kind of dictate that too. I mean, Tua has better odds than Tyreek Hill, right? And that's kind of interesting to me, but no, Tyreek Hill has been incredible. But I think even without Tyreek and what Tua's doing this year, that the timing of that offense, Miami still could have a successful season, right?
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about with San Francisco. Without Christian McCaffrey, I don't know if Brock Purdy is this good. I don't know if this offense is that easy for Kyle Shanahan to call.
It's an interesting answer, Mike. I would not have expected that from you, but that is a You are a conundrum, sir. That is, no, that's very interesting. And you, and I just want to say it right now, because then I'm holding you to this now, because we talked about this off air, but you will be on the Megapod next week. Is that what I hear? Yes,
I will. I will. Yeah.
Mike Pritchard on the Megapod.
On your Megapod there.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. Mike said he was he was a little offended that he didn't get the invite earlier. I was offended. I was worried that he wouldn't say yes. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you guys.
Mike Pritchard.
I appreciate you guys.
At MI Pritchard on the old Twitter machine. He'd go McCaffrey over Tyreek. I didn't see that coming. We'll come back. Okay, I'll let you know. It's a global release, college basketball line from Right Angle Sports on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.